Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Well, as I was preparing for my message this evening, I began to think about our vision that we have for our church this year. And in those of y'all, I hopefully we're all keeping this idea. And our word and our vision for our church this year has been the word essential. And what we've been doing with that is we've been teaching and reclaiming that word and teaching it from the viewpoint of how God views each and every single one of us as essential. That's where we can look to see, well, what does the Lord say about essential? We don't look to a government. We don't look to a city mandate. We don't look to the state to tell us, well, you can go here or you can do that or whatever. No, we understand that our worth, our essentialness, I'll make Mel laugh, our essentialness is found only in Christ and only in the Lord. And so I began to think about that, and I just began to think about some of the things that we've heard preached from the pulpit, some different things, and I began to think about something that I believe that if you've listened to the words from this ministry for any point of time, for any period of time, you're going to at some point hear that you are called to produce. God has called us to be producers. We're supposed to produce, and that's extremely important for us to comprehend. God doesn't want our lives as Christians to be barren and unproductive. He wants us to operate in the giftings and the talents that he has measured out to each and every single one of us, and not only to do those things, but to do them well. And so we recognize this truth in several passages of Scripture, but I've just got a couple here if you don't believe me. We're called to be responsible in the giftings we've received, and that's made plain in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 15 says, to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then the master went away. And he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And now, like I said, if you're not aware of the ending of this parable, spoiler alert, there's some things that happened. The two that were productive with what they were given, they were blessed. They had blessing poured out on them. But the one that chose to take what he was given, the responsibility that he was given, not only was it taken away from him and given to the one that had done more, but then he was punished for it. And see, we all understand that. We can all see that we're supposed to be responsible with what we've been given and be effective with those things. We also know, and you've heard it preached from this pulpit, that we are to produce things as evidence of our lives submitted to Christ and being filled with the Spirit. And that's found and seen here in this second verse, Galatians 5:22-23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I think we would all agree that you can't call yourself a healthy Christian and say, I'm going to do all of these things except for love. I'm going to be everything that God's called me to be without the fruit of love showing in my life. You can't do it. I'm going to be everything that God wants me to be as a son except for be kind to people. Well, I'm going to fulfill everything that God would have for me without any self-control. No, we would all recognize you've got to have those fruits of the Spirit in order to fulfill what God's called you to do and to do it well. We all see those things. We've all heard those things. We've all talked about those things. And we recognize that these things are important. And in our quest to be fruitful, to provide evidence for what we believe, in our hustle to be effective with the talents that we've been given and the responsibilities that we've been given, I believe that sometimes we skip over or we gloss over the most important part of our spiritual makeup, the most important part of our spiritual health. And here's the thing, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? We oftentimes even have to hold ourselves in check because we so often compare ourselves to other people that are around us, and we see, you know, we compare what we're doing in our lives to, well, I know what Mel's doing, and man, I'm not even doing close to what Mel's doing. And so, golly, I gotta do better. Or the other one, probably for some of us, more like, well, at least I'm not doing what so-and-so's doing over here. I mean, hey, look at my life. It looks pretty good. I mean, yeah, it's not all the way up to the top, but I mean, hey, it ain't looking like that. And what we get caught up in is focusing on what we're producing so much that we forget about the other side of the plant. We focus so much on wanting to have good fruit that we neglect the strength of our roots. What keeps us planted and provided for, what allows us to be able to go the distance, what allows us to continue to be productive and be stable is our roots. See, in the New Testament, there was this guy who was a great example of what I'm talking about. And his name was Saul. And Saul had a miraculous encounter with God. And from this encounter, Saul would go on to become someone new named Paul. And this new man named Paul would go on to be one of the greatest apostles that the world has ever seen. Would go on to write 2/3 of the New Testament. But Saul didn't just wake up and boom, now he's doing all these great things. There was a root system established in Saul that grew and allowed Paul to be able to do what he did. Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to kind of skip around here just for the sake of time, but Acts chapter 9, this is following after Saul was blinded on the road to Damascus. The Lord said, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do." We skip on down to verse 10, and it says, "In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision and said, 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he answered. The Lord told him, 'Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight.'" Skip on down to verse 17. And it says, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me to you so that you may be able to see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up, was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul then spent several days with the disciples training in Damascus." See, Saul got something planted in him, and what was planted in him was the message that he was fighting against Jesus Christ. He was fighting against the God who he thought he was serving. And in order for him to get his thinking corrected, he was going to have to be taught some things. And he was going to have some dots connected that he had been rejecting. Those dots would be connected by the Holy Spirit being imparted or planted within him by Ananias. You have to understand, Saul, without what was imparted to him, what was planted inside of him, would have never been able to do and produce what Paul did. Without the Holy Spirit. But once the roots were in place, once he had been trained up, once he understood what this was all about, he then could preach from a place of, I've got some truth now in this. I've got some understanding in this. I've got something I can share that I didn't have before. See, there was a middle part between Saul encountering and Saul going across the world being an apostle. There was a time where underneath, where no one got to see, there was a period of time where Saul had to be trained up. And then, before you knew it, the bloom of Paul came up. What we need to understand is that what's going on under the surface of our life oftentimes is what gets us to the place where we can produce a crop that does something for the Lord. Matthew 13:23 says, "But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it, This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The only thing that leads to a life that truly blesses God and those around us is a life that has deep roots. See, what makes this seed become a productive crop is that it has had deep roots. It's been planted in deep. And what I want to do is I want everyone to start turning to Matthew 13, because that's where we're going to start tonight. Or that's where we're going to be spending our time at tonight. But we need to understand that we who say that we want to be productive, we can't be caught up solely on what's observable. You know, you're looking at this picture and that tree is just as big underneath the surface as it is above the surface. We've got to get the word deep inside of us. We've got to be spending time just as much on the deep truths as we are on what we think that people can see and observe from our life. We have to get the word of God planted inside of us. And it's from that place that the seed has room for its roots to grow, amen? We're going to be talking about having deep roots tonight. So the parable of the sower. Parable of the sower. I'm praying for fresh anointing on old truths tonight. If you've been raised in church, you've probably heard this parable taught on before. But what I want us to glean from this tonight, and no shame on anybody who maybe have never heard this before, but what I want to glean from this tonight is the emphasis of the different soils. We're going to be breaking this passage of Scripture down tonight, and I want us to be thinking about what is keeping the seed from taking root as we begin to read this. As we begin to read this, what is keeping us from going deeper in our lives with the Lord? What is keeping our lives from being productive long term? Let's go ahead and let's read. Matthew 13, 3 through 8 says this. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now, Jesus goes on to explain this parable to the disciples, and I want to read this because I'm going to be referencing this as we begin to break these down. But later on down in verse 18 of the same chapter, says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once received it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word out, making it unfruitful. But alas, the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Hopefully tonight we all go, I want to be like the good soil. I want to be like the good soil. I want to be like the good soil. And understand there are sometimes things, and I want to make sure that I clarify this, there are sometimes things that we do better at receiving. And so that doesn't necessarily mean that we're pigeonholed in one group or another. But I want to make sure that we see what hinders each different stage of this parable and see where we can go from there and why we want to be like the last one. So, the hard path. What is the hard path? Well, this is a rejection of the word. It's not ever given a chance. And I want to ask you a question. Can God be hindered in your life? Can we hinder God? Absolutely. Reject his word. That's not, I don't think that's too crazy. I don't think that's too bold. Do you want to hinder God in your life? Do you want to hinder the growth of your spiritual root? Go ahead and reject his word. See, it goes on to say, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. Now, the not understanding is not like, oh, geez, this is like algebra, and now I need someone to teach. That's not what the not understanding is. Because the Bible's real clear. If you seek, you will find. If you want to figure out what's in here, God's not hiding it. You want to know what God says about something, read your Bible. If you want to know something, because you don't know it, and you claim, well, I don't know what that is, then open up your Bible and see what God has to say about it. But the not understanding has less to do with your ability to understand, and it's more about your lack of willingness to want to try to understand. The only way that you remain in your lack of ability to understand is by rejecting the word entirely. And rejecting truth often looks like this, and I know we've all seen this. Well, I know the Bible says that, but I don't know if that really fits today. Or, well, I know that that's what the Bible says, but I was raised to think about it more like this in this context. Or, well, I know the Bible says that, but, I mean, it really just needs to get with the times, and this is the way our culture is now, and so we should really be thinking that. Okay, we just need to stop. If someone's making that argument with you, you need to understand they're just rejecting the word. They're just rejecting the truth. There will not be an understanding until they can grasp on and say, I receive that. Let me think about that for a little while. Let me try to understand that. Until someone comes to that position, that person's not ever going to have an understanding. It reminds me of the passage of Scripture where Jesus was in his hometown and he was really excited to getting ready to do all these miracles in his hometown. And isn't this Jesus? Who? Isn't this the son of the carpenter? You're going to try to come in. And what does the Bible say? The Bible says that he couldn't even do any great work except heal for a few sick people. See, you've got God trying to sow some seed into your life that will produce for you, but you won't even let that seed come into your life because you're too busy rejecting, because I don't even want to try to understand that, because that confronts me on some things that I've got different viewpoints on. And my viewpoints aren't based on the word, they're based on my feelings. It'll never take root. And then before you know it, whoosh, here come the ravens, they snatch it up, and you've lost that opportunity. You will limit God's influence through you, and I believe have a very hard time ever having your production level exceed the materialistic. You won't really ever be able to make an impact because the word of God can never really come into your heart and truly take root and grow something in you. Okay? Second one, the seed falling on rocky ground. Again, I'm going to ask you the question, can God be hindered? Yes, by your shallow heart. By your shallow heart, it can. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once, receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When troubles or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. See, these are the kinds of people, they can't deny what they see, they can't deny what they feel, and they get caught up on what they see and what they feel, and that's as deep as their faith goes. When our faith is only as deep as what we can sense with our five senses and what we can taste, hear, smell, touch, see. Whenever that's as deep as your faith goes, you have to understand that your spiritual root ain't going to be real deep. And whenever a storm comes, whenever trials come, whenever tribulation comes, your tree's not going to look like this, where you've got real deep roots. This is starting to go against my feelings. I don't like the way I'm feeling now. Okay, I'm out. I'm done with this. I'm out. Oh, I've got to have faith for something, even though it's really hard for me to have faith for it. I'm out. When you have a shallow belief system, when you don't allow the Word of God to go deeper than your feelings, and for the Holy Spirit to teach you something beyond what your senses can even amount to try to teach you, you're going to be limited. Now, here's the thing. It's not to say that there aren't blessings, that there aren't good things, that there aren't going to be some times where God allows you to see, feel something, to just where he just makes him, where it's like, wow, there's no doubt that that's God because he allowed me to see that. And here's the thing we have to understand. If you don't know that, understand this. Job 1:9, this is out of the mouth of Satan. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that the flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. This is not an anti-blessings or anti-fruit message or anti-whatever. I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't be excited about the things that we do and what our production looks like and how God's trying to show us things. But let me ask you this. Do you only fear God? Turn Satan's question around. Do you only fear God because of the things? Are you just a fair weather fan? It's okay to get excited. It's okay to get excited about the things of God and about all the blessings. But we can't build our beliefs. We can't have our tree grown off of only those things. We've got to get something deeper than that. Amen? We don't want to get knocked over the first time that something comes by because our roots are so shallow. The third, people who allow weeds to choke out the word. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word out, making it unfruitful. Again, can God be hindered? Can the word of God be hindered? Yep. But what you allow to be planted around your heart and occupy space that should have been set aside for his word. When you allow weeds to grow up in the place that the word of God was supposed to grow, you've got to understand that the word's going to have a hard time. Fears, sins, bitterness, hurt, anger. See, we've got to prepare a place in our hearts where we're trying to grow this faith thing. We're trying to grow our root system. We're trying to grow who we are, but yet we're allowing something to grow right alongside it that actually wants to hinder the life that you're trying to grow. And see, if we don't get on those weeds early, people who have gardens, I've worked in a few gardens. I don't have a garden, but I've worked in a few gardens. If you don't get the weeds while they're this big, and you wait till they're this big, you're going to have a whole lot harder time pulling those weeds out than had you just got them whenever they were only this big, little itty bitty. As things begin to sprout up, because that's just what happens in life. Things come alongside us that try to take place or try to plant themselves in the path or in the direction of what God is trying to grow in you. And if we don't take notice, if we don't pluck those things out of the way, they begin to rob and steal the nutrients. Come on. They begin to suck out the life. They begin to take away the nutrients that was meant for the root that God was trying to grow in you so that you could have a healthy root system and be strong. But instead, we've fed our fear. Instead, we've fed our bitterness. Instead, we've fed our anger. Instead, we fed our hurt. Instead, we fed our, y'all fill in the blank. And I'm not here to get on. We've all got weeds we got to pick. But a lot of times, we're real good, like I said, at looking in other people's gardens and going, oh, they need to pick that out of there. We're real good at noticing what other people need to pick up, but we're real bad about keeping our own. We got to keep our place picked clean. We've got to keep what the Lord's trying to do in our life clear of that stuff, that junk. You know, it's kind of like this, Judges 3:12. And I'm just going to read this because y'all are going to know this. These come up hundreds of times. And once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And because they did this evil, God had some punishment. How many times did we read about, and once again, the Israelites allowed sin to creep in, and it destroyed the whole economy of what God was trying to say. And once again, Chapman allowed his pride to, and once again, so-and-so allowed that. We've got to pick them weeds early. We got to pick them weeds early, and we got to get them out of there. Because it's choking out the righteous root, and it's causing your life to be unfruitful. And then now you're mad at God. You hate the church. You hate whoever's preaching. You hate whoever's trying to say something in your life. And you don't realize that it's got nothing to do with what's coming to you, but it's the weeds around your life that you've allowed to suck out. You can't even get anything from it because all you're thinking about is this root, this extra thing, this sin, this fear, this hurt. And that's not where we want to be, because we all want to be like this last one. This is the one that we all want to get to. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This happens because there is no rejection of the truth like in the first soil. There's no shallowness like the second soil. So then there's no limit to the... There are no weeds to stunt its growth like in the third. And because there is nothing stopping the root of the righteousness of what's going on here, there's nothing that can stop this person from achieving what God is calling them toward. This is a person who brings a crop of 100, 60, and 30-fold like the verse says. So we have to understand the necessity of the Word of God to our growth and plant it deep within us. And then like Pastor was talking about on Sunday, we water it with the pure water of the Word every single day. When we do that, these things happen. The first step is when we accept the Word of God, it plants itself within us and it gets us past the rejection of the Word. Simply by accepting the Word, you get past the first step. You're not rejecting it, you're accepting it. It's planting itself within you. Then as we water that truth with more truth from God's word, not from what the world says, not from what our friends say, not from what so-and-so tells you on Facebook that this is what you ought to believe or whatever, but as we begin to water the seed that's been planted within us with more truth from God's word, not only does that water feed our faith or feed what's been planted, but it breaks up and softens the soil for that seed to begin to send its root down deeper and deeper and deeper. We don't have to worry about our seed being planted too shallow because that water softens everything else up around it and the root can go down deeper and deeper and deeper. And see, as we're being diligent to watering that word, this third thing comes around. As we're diligent to water that word, as we're diligent and we're taking care, and every day we come out there with our water pail and we water it with the word, and we every day we're coming back and we're watering with the word, we begin to recognize, hey, there's something growing here that I didn't plant. Weeds. Oh, hey, here, let me pick those real quick. Since I'm already going right here and I'm reading the word and I'm pouring this word on my life and I'm trying to grow what God's trying to do in my life, why not just go ahead and just pick those real quick? As we are caring for and nurturing and taking care of the revelation that God has given us and digging it down deep, we're never going to get surprised by weeds that come up in our life that try to spring up or try to choke us out. We're going to keep that area picked clean, and that root's going to have opportunity to go really down deep and become fully matured. And as that root becomes fully matured, boom, we end up like this tree behind me. We end up having a root system that can support the ministry, and you fill in the blank, the ministry that God has called each and every single one of us to in different ways. My ministry is going to be different than your ministry. And your ministry is going to be different than my ministry. It's not my job to judge how good of a job I'm doing based on how what you're doing. No, I've got to listen to, okay, this is what I've been planning. This is what I've been called to do. Just as diverse as the body of Christ is, each and every single one of us is going to have a different job. Each and every single one of us is going to produce a different fruit. But it's our job to protect it and to nurture it. So in closing, real quick, three things I want us to take away from this. The first one is this. The roots of the mature tree are not affected by the elements that go on around it. Yeah, a branch might break off in a storm. That happens. But the tree will survive so long as the roots are fully matured. The second thing is this. Weeds have less effect on a full-grown tree than they did whenever it was just a sprout. Now, what I'm not saying is, well, if you're in the ministry long enough, well, geez, you can just sin as much as you want and it's not going to... No, what I'm saying is that little things that pop up in your life, little weeds, little fears, little this, little that, your root system is way beyond the root system of that little weed. And what it could ever hope to steal from you or take from you or try to suck from you, it can't do it because you're tapped into something that's way deep on down there, further than whatever that weed could ever hope to. See, the weeds are planted superficially, but the tree is supplied supernaturally. Whenever we allow our needs to be supplied supernaturally and not superficially, okay, that little thing came up, whatever. Brush that off. Big old oak tree ain't worried about a little weed growing next to it. It can't affect it. Your life won't be able to be affected by those little things that pop up as deep as your roots get. And the last one is this. Realizing the importance of our roots over our fruits will keep us from being like those who will be left on the outside saying, Lord, didn't I do this? Emphasizing healthy, deep, reaching roots tapped into the Word of God and watered by the truth of the Word will keep you from being like those who won't understand why their works weren't enough to get them to heaven. Lord, didn't I cast out demons in your name? Lord, didn't I heal the sick? Didn't I preach amazing sermons? Didn't I volunteer in the nursery? Didn't I work in the coffee shop? Didn't I show up early every day before everyone else got there, stay later? All those things are great, but that can't be the source of what you're planted in. What you have to be planted in is in your relationship with the Word and your understanding of God, and that will carry you on to a productive life that goes on and on and on, where your production will be 100, 60, and 30-fold. Where generations will look back at what was planted in you and what you planted in your family and then what your kids planted in their kids, and then that, they'll be able to tie it back to what was planted within you. Amen? All right, y'all stand up.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.